On the second day of February 2011 in San Diego, we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. We are in chapter 18, entitled The Perfection of Renunciation, and we are in text 36. Sukam vidanim trividham. Shunume bharata. Shunume bharata shabha. Abhyasadramate yatra. Dukantam chanigacchati. Sukam vidanim trividham. Shunume bharata shabha. Abhyasadramate yatra. Tukantam chanigacchati. O best of the Bharatas, now please hear from me about the three kinds of happiness by which the conditioned soul enjoys and by which he sometimes comes to the end of all distress. Purport. A conditioned soul tries to enjoy material happiness again and again. Thus he chews the chewed. But sometimes, in the course of such enjoyment, he becomes relieved from material entanglement by association with a great soul. In other words, a conditioned soul is always engaged in some type of sense gratification, but when he understands by good association that it is only a repetition of the same thing, and he is awakened to his real Krishna consciousness, he is sometimes relieved from such repetitive so-called happiness. Om Gyanatamarandasya Gyanandana Shalakya Chukshu Unmidatam Mena Tasmai Shri Gurubhyo. So here he's introducing his description of the different kinds of happiness, which will of course be under the different modes of nature. But it's interesting that Prabhupada refers to a verse here from Prahlad Maharaj, this famous verse in which Prahlad Maharaj is preaching to his father, and his father wants to know, how did you become Krishna conscious? Because it didn't seem to be possible. Prahlad was born in a demon family. His father was a great demon, one of the first demons in this creation. And naturally, the kingdom was sealed off. It was run by demons. The schools were run by demons. And here's Prahlad preaching this Krishna conscious philosophy. Well, where did he learn it from? He couldn't figure it out. So Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad, where did you learn this from? So he has these three important verses. Matirna krishne badatak svato vamito vipadde de griha vratanam adanta gobi vishatam tamisram punak punashchar vitacharvananam. And that punak punashchar vitacharvananam is the origin of this chewing the chewed. That's where the chewing the chewed comes in. So what Prahlad is saying there is that basically, don't worry, father, you'll never be Krishna conscious, you know. Because your senses are out of control, you've taken a firm vow to try to enjoy materialistic household life, you know, grihavatanam. And whether you try on your own or by meeting somebody or you meet in conferences, somehow or other, you'll never take the Krishna. Because you're determined not to be Krishna. Instead, punak punashcharvatacharvananam, with those uncontrolled senses, you're repeatedly trying to enjoy that which you've already enjoyed. And this is indeed the nature of material existence, is that even though there's basically, you know, sense gratification is kind of very trite, it's called, you know, the happiness of this materialistic life, beginning with sex, is ultimately very insignificant compared when you understand the great ocean of happiness available in spiritual life in relation to Krishna. But if you don't understand that, then that's all you know. And so you try the same thing in different varieties. And you think that this will bring me happiness, this will bring me happiness. If I just take this drug, that drug, if I just meet that person, this person, you know. And it's just life after life. It's a series of plans, experiences, disappointments, and then further plans. And it just goes on and on like that. So that's called punak punashcharvatacharvananam, chewing that which has already been chewed. But sometimes, in the course of such so-called enjoyment, one becomes relieved by association with the great soul. So we need to come in contact with someone who can show us how to get out of this rigmarole that is ultimately completely self-defeating for the soul. So let's see the different kinds of happiness and how we can come to the point of unending happiness. Yattaragre vishamiva padiname mritopamam tatsukam sattvikam proktam atmabuddhi prasarajam. That which in the beginning may be just like poison, but at the end is just like nectar, and which awakens one to self-realization is said to be happiness in the mode of goodness. Purport. In the pursuit of self-realization, one has to follow many rules and regulations to control the mind and the senses, and to concentrate the mind on the self. All these procedures are very difficult, bitter like poison. But if one is successful in following the regulations and comes to the transcendental position, he begins to drink real nectar and he enjoys life. So, just like in our regular Krishna consciousness, there are some things, as I was mentioning, that are very difficult at first. You know, getting up early, doing all this business. But at a certain point, one begins to get a taste for it. If you're practicing nicely, then you feel good. You feel good in yourself, even though externally it still may be difficult. You know, a little less sleep, a little more cold than you'd wanted, you know, this and that. But the real satisfaction inside is growing, you know. And it's much more deep and it's much more profound than the sensations of that you can experience, you know, through the external body. So that's why he says, in the beginning, it may be like poison. You know, because there's some austerity involved. But in the end, it's nectar. In the end, you're glad you did it. You know, you're glad that you went through that because you come to a platform of more detachment from the physical body, more detachment from the sensations. And that means the mind can be steady. Without a steady mind, you can't practice any kind of yoga. You know, that's why at the beginning, in that second chapter, Krishna talks so much about citta pragya. You know, citta pragya means a steady intelligence. You know, which basically, if you read those verses, means giving up sense gratification and taking pleasure in the self. So, again, Prabhupada is talking about the mode of goodness as the platform for Krishna consciousness. Again and again, he's seeing how this is atma buddhi prasarajam, you know, born of the satisfaction of the soul. Well, the soul really can't be satisfied unless it comes in touch with Krishna. But the mode of goodness, when one is taking pleasure in the higher things, and not so much in the gross sense gratification, then you're more likely to be able to be receptive to the message of Krishna consciousness, so that you can take pleasure in the highest thing, which is pure spirit, not just in the, you know, modes of goodness in the intellect. So it's good when you find someone, you know, someone who is thoughtful, who's aesthetic, who's pure, relatively pure in this world, a vegetarian, you know, inquisitive about spiritual matters and philosophical matters. Such a person is more likely to be receptive to a philosophy of Krishna consciousness. You know, that's kind of pleasure in the mode of goodness. Than someone who's just, you know, out to enjoy the gross senses, you know, drugs, sex, and rock and roll. You know, it's harder for a person to open this Bhagavad Gita and to make sense of it. You know, if your mind is so covered by the modes of passion and ignorance that you're taking pleasure there. So it's good to try to cultivate these pleasures in the mode of goodness. But of course, we are really looking for pleasure in transcendental mode, which comes with service to Krishna. Any questions on these points? This is the happiness in the mode of goodness. Now, Vishayendriya Samyogad Yattadagre Mritopamam Padiname Vishamiva Tatsukam Rajasam Smritam. That happiness which is derived from contact of the senses with their objects, and which appears like nectar at first, but poison at the end, is said to be of the nature of passion. Purport. A young man and a young woman meet, and the senses drive the young man to see her, to touch her, and to have sexual intercourse. In the beginning, this may be very pleasing to the senses, but at the end, or after some time, it becomes just like poison. They are separated, or there is divorce, there is lamentation, there is sorrow, etc. Such happiness is always in the mode of passion. Happiness derived from a combination of the senses and the sense objects is always a cause of distress and should be avoided by all means. And this is, you know, we're surrounded by this. People don't know any other kind of happiness. And so they're constantly being allured in different varieties of this sense gratification and being disappointed again and again. There's so much ferment in the society, you know, no one is satisfied. And that's exactly a result of searching this happiness in the mode of passion. And, you know, passion produces greed. This is in the 14th chapter, the mode of passion. There's never enough because there's this emptiness. You know, the sensation, you get the sensation, but now it's over, now you're empty. You know, so you need more and more and more. And it's very frustrating for the soul. There cannot be any real happiness without peace. That's mentioned in the second chapter also. And how can there be any peace without control of the senses? He mentions that too. Vihai kaman yaksavan pumang chari nikspada nimamondra hankara sashanti madigachati. This is a conclusion on this near the end of this chapter. Vihai kama, to give up all of these mode of passion types of pleasures, yaksavan pumang chari nikspada, working without desire, material desire, in a way. Nimamondra hankara. You know, this is an advanced platform, really feeling that nothing is mine, everything belongs to Krishna, and not working out of false ego, that I, my body, I have a separate interest in it. That really produces peace. Only the devotee can have peace. Famous verse. It's in Bengali. Important verse. Krishna bhakta nishkama ateva shanta. Bhukti mukti siddhikami sakali ashanta. That the Krishna bhakta, because he's nishkama, he doesn't want anything for himself, can be actually peaceful. But whether you want bhukti, mukti, or siddhi, bhukti is 99.999%. Bhukti means ordinary gratification. But there's also mukti kama, and also siddhi kama. The yogis want these special siddhis to, you know, lighter than the light is heavier, control the world, you know, or travel, you know, through the astral plane. So those are material. They may be refined material, but they're still material pleasures. So that's called siddhi kama. You know, I may have five cities, but the other yogi has six cities. And I'm disappointed. Or Vishwamitra, he had all the cities, but he wanted to be a Brahmin. He wasn't satisfied. You know, it's all this envy, even on this subtle plane, you know. So that, then there's mukti kami. Prahlad also certifies you can have mukti kama, lust for liberation. It's a personal desire. I want to be free of all misery and the heck with everybody else. Prahlad says that's what most of the munis do, you know. Spiritual life, you know, many, many circles, it means going alone, going to the forest, going to the caves, you know, trying to get liberation. That's personal. That's still, I want liberation. So all of that means that it can never be peaceful. The quality of liberation, even for these, mukti purushas, is never secure, because you're never secure unless you're at the lotus feet of Krishna. If you don't, you know, if you just rise up to the Brahman platform and you're free of the material body, fine. But where is there a real deep spiritual place? There's no ananda there. The ananda comes from relationship with Krishna. So eventually you come down out of sheer boredom, you know. So the only way to be peaceful is to be a devotee, and the only way to have happiness is to be peaceful. So the only way to be happy is to be a devotee. Logical. QED. Okay, any questions on this? This is happiness in the mode of passion. And now, ignorance. Yaragre chano bandecha sukham mohanamatmanaha nidralasya pramodatam pramodottam tattama samudaritam. And that happiness which is blind to self-realization, which is delusion from beginning to end, and which arises from sleep, laziness, and illusion, is said to be of the nature of ignorance. Purport. One who takes pleasure in laziness and in sleep is certainly in the mode of darkness, ignorance. And one who has no idea how to act and how to now not to act is also in the mode of ignorance. For the person in the mode of ignorance, everything is illusion. There is no happiness either in the beginning or at the end. For the person in the mode of passion, there might be some kind of ephemeral happiness in the beginning, and at the end, distress. But for the person in the mode of goodness, there is only distress. For the person in the mode of ignorance, there is only distress both in the beginning and at the end. So, mode of ignorance, you know, heavy drugs, sleeping, you know, letting things go. Just let it all go, you know. Where is there any happy? You know, it just devolves into kind of a hallucinatory kind of existence, and that's very dangerous because you likely lose your human form in that situation. You know, the human form is a gift. It's a gift for self-realization, and. If you misuse it, if you embrace the darkness, so to speak, you know, and you're always in, then you'll go down. Krishna says, he certifies in the 14th chapter, those who pass out of this body in the mode of ignorance, they go down to lower species. So these three modes, as we recall from the 14th chapter, they are always at struggle with each other. Sometimes the mode of ignorance is predominant, sometimes passion, sometimes goodness, and there's different mixtures. But it's up to us in the human form. We can cultivate these different modes. If we're knowledgeable, we can cultivate the mode of goodness, and we can cultivate the mode of pure goodness. In pure goodness, Krishna reveals himself. That's why that state is known as Vasudev. Just as Vasudev was the father, so-called father of Krishna in his appearance, he gave birth to Vasudev. Vasudev means the son of Vasudev. So the Vasudeva state is the state of pure goodness, untinged by any slight passion or ignorance. And so it's very auspicious. If you can become fixed in that state, then your life is good. Okay. Okay. So we are on text 40. Natat asti prithivyam va divideve shubha punaha Sattvam Pakti Jaya Muktam Yadebi Syatvibi Gunahi. There is no being existing either here or among the demigods in the higher planetary systems which is freed from these three modes born of material nature. Before the Lord here summarizes the total influence of the three modes of material nature all over the universe. So if we recall, he's just been through a whole bunch of verses describing various aspects of human existence in terms of the three modes, whether it's charity, determination, intelligence, activity, happiness. What else did we cover here? Dharma, religion, you know. All of these are conducted under the three modes. And to the various degrees that they're covered by the mode of ignorance. In other words, the mode of goodness is less covered by ignorance. To that degree, they're auspicious. Whether it's your activity, or your happiness, or your religion, your dharma, which is in the mode of goodness, is just close to transcendental, sanatana dharma. And therefore, we try to do things in the mode of goodness. You know, the cleanliness aspect, the regularity, all of that cultivates the mode of goodness. Because on that platform, then transcendental knowledge grows nicely. But we should know that everything is being conducted. You can see, if you see through Bhagavad Gita's eyes, through the eyes of Shastra, you'll see how the world is working. You can see people who are in the mode of passion, who are never satisfied, who work hard day and night just to accumulate money, you know, to enjoy. You know, you see people in the mode of ignorance who embrace the darkness through drugs, through irregularity, through violence, you know, and this way cover themselves more and more. And you see people in the mode of goodness who are inquisitive, who are philosophical, thoughtful about life, who try to lead a pure life, you know. So that in this way you can see how the world is working. You know, but all of them, without Krishna, without this knowledge, they're up and down, up and down. Something goodness, something passion, ignorance. You know, in one lifetime or one day, you can go through all these different modes. So the idea is to become fixed, you know, through knowledge and practice, to become fixed in the mode of goodness, and then from there cultivate the mode of pure goodness. Krishna consciousness. Okay. So, not many purports here. Prabhupada is wanting this book to come out. He's not putting too many purports. So now we go on to the Brahmas, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas, and Shudras. Brahmana Kshatriya Visham Shudranam Chaparam Tapa Karmani Prabhibhaktani Sobhava Prabhavayagunai. Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras are distinguished by the qualities born of their own natures in accordance with the material modes, O chastiser of the enemy. Shamo Damas Tapak Shaucham Chantirajvamevacha Jnanam Vijnanam Astikyam Brahmakama Svabhavajam. Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, knowledge, wisdom, and religiousness. These are the natural qualities by which the Brahmins work. Shauryam Tejo Dhritir Dakshyam Yudhe Chapya Balayanam Danam Ishvara Bhavascha Chatram Karma Svabhavajam. Heroism, power, determination, resourcefulness, courage in battle, generosity, and leadership are the natural qualities of work for the Kshatriyas. Krishigoraksha Vanijam Vaishyakarma Subhavajam Paricharyatmakam Karma Shudrasyapi Subhavajam. Farming, cow protection, and business are the natural work for the Vaishyas, and for the Shudras there are labor and service to others. Sve Sve Karman Nyabhiditak Sansiddhim Nabate Naraha Swakarma Nidatak Siddhim Yadavindati Tatrinu. By following his qualities of work, every man can become perfect. Now please hear from me how this can be done. Yatak Pravitti Bhutanam Yena Sarvamidam Tatam Sukarmanatam Abhyachya Siddhim Bindati Manavaha. By worship of the Lord, who is the source of all beings and who is all-pervading, a man can attain perfection through performing his own work. Purport. As stated in the 15th chapter, all living beings are fragmental parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord. Thus, the Supreme Lord is the beginning of all living entities. This is confirmed in the Vedanta Sutra, Janmad Yasya Yataha, which means everything, he from whom everything emanates. That's the absolute truth. The Supreme Lord is therefore the beginning of life of every living entity, and as stated in the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Lord, by his two energies, his external energy and internal energy, is all-pervading. Therefore, one should worship the Supreme Lord with his energies. Generally, the Vaishnava devotees worship the Supreme Lord with his internal energy. His external energy is a perverted reflection of the internal energy. The external energy is a background, but the Supreme Lord, by the expansion of his plenary portion as Paramatma, or Supersoul, is situated everywhere. He is the Supersoul of all demigods, all human beings, all animals, everywhere. One should therefore know that as part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, one has his duty to render service unto the Supreme. Everyone should be engaged in devotional service to the Lord in full Krishna consciousness. That is recommended in this verse. Everyone should think that he is engaged in a particular type of occupation by Rishikesh, the master of the senses. And by the result of the work in which one is engaged, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, should be worshipped. If one thinks always in this way, in full Krishna consciousness, then, by the grace of the Lord, he becomes fully aware of everything. That is the perfection of life. The Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita 12:7, Tesham Aham Samudharta. The Supreme Lord himself takes charge of delivering such a devotee. That is the highest perfection of life. In whatever occupation one may be engaged, If he served the Supreme Lord, he will achieve the highest perfection. So this is the whole idea of what is called Varnashram Dharma. Varnashram Dharma, of which we have just heard a description without purports of the different ashrams. The Brahmin, the Kshatriya, the Vaishya, and the Shudra. I'm sorry, those are the Varnas, the different occupations. So Brahman are the intellectuals. They're meant to be pure, austere. We're also reading in the morning, right, about the Brahmins. We read about the real Brahmins perform severe austerities to attain that platform of unending happiness after death. So it all depends on your qualities and your work. It doesn't matter your birth. Now, the birth, of course, will give you a better chance to be in that particular varna. If you're born in a Vaishya family, chances are you'll be raised as a Vaishya. You'll learn how to do banking, you'll learn how to do farming, whatever it may be, and you'll probably take your place in the ranks of the Vaishyas. But it doesn't necessarily mean that you'll 100%. If you're attracted to become a Brahmin, especially if you are able to become into an association of those who can train you as Brahmin, then you can become a Brahmin by quality and by work. So, but whatever you are in society, Krishna is giving the key verse here of how you can perfect that activity. So, yatra kvavitya bhutanam yena sarvamidam tatam. So, from whom everything has emanated and who pervades everything. That can only be the Supreme God. If with one's work, one worships that personality, then one can achieve perfection. So the whole encouragement here is that you don't have to radically change your position. If you're doing honest work, some kind of, pure work that's not really sinful, then through that work and the results of the work, you can worship the Lord and therefore gradually move toward perfection. There is a way of being Krishna conscious in every environment. This is an all-encompassing, embracing philosophy. In fact, in the conversation between Ramananda Roy and Lord Chaitanya, when Lord Chaitanya acted as the student, as the disciple, and he gave Ramananda Roy the position of the guru, the teacher, he was asking him, what a guru, what a disciple asks in a spiritual side. What is the goal of life, and how can one achieve it? That's what we should ask. What is the meaning of human life, and how can one realize that meaning? That's the question that should every human being should ask, not to give up on it. Due to the propaganda of the so-called scientific society, that there's no meaning. Don't worry, there's no meaning. We're just like accidental accumulations of molecules happen to come together, and when we're gone, that's it, and that's all, there's no meaning. That's the demoniac view. Asatyam apatishtam te jagadahu adishwaram. They declare, they don't just believe, but they declare, jagadahu anishwaram. There's no God in control, there is no meaning. Asatyam, there's no truth. Everything is fluid. Whatever whatever is good for you, is good. Relative is ethics. Aparaspara sambhutam kimantikam hoitikam. How do things come about? Attraction and repulsion of different molecules somehow. That's it. Then such a person with such a philosophy and such a vision, who cares what the meaning? There's no meaning. I've already convinced myself of that. So the whole guru disciple business doesn't mean anything. So, if one is fortunate to avoid that kind of philosophy, then he can, even in his own work, you can worship the Lord and move toward perfection. Siddhim bindavi manava. So Krishna is being very broad-minded here. He's saying everyone in society can begin devotional service. So in this conversation between Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy, he kept asking him that, and gradually they came up the scale. And one of the places which Lord Chaitanya said, yes, this is the right thing, is a verse by Brahma, where he has this principle of not having to leave your present condition, but to add the element of Krishna consciousness, or bhakti yoga. And he says, jnane priyasam udapasya namanta eva jivanti sanmukaditam babadi yavartam stane stitha. Shutikatam tanuvan manobir ye prayaso ajita jitopasitaistri lokyam. So Krishna is known as a jita. If God is anything, he must be unconquerable. If God is anything, he's omnipotent, right? That means he can't conquer him. So he's known as a jita. But in this verse it says, a jita means you can't conquer. But you conquer the unconquerable. Well, let's see how that can happen. So he said, Gyane Priyasam. First of all, you have to give up all your speculation. Your idea that you know something. You know, that you figured it out with your little brain, with the, where everything comes from, what everything meaning is. We are helpless. You know, all we do is create confusion with our mind, you know. So we have to stop that. Jnane Priyasam Udapasya. Give up the effort to figure out everything. This is Brahma speaking, who created the whole universe, and he couldn't understand that Krishna was God. Because he has this form of a little boy with a little yogurt in his hand, a little flute here. That's my father. That's the one who created this whole universe. He's the one, all-pervading master of everyone. Doesn't compute. And so Brahma tested Krishna. You know, he stole his calves. You know, he performed, you know, some powerful mystic city stuff, you know. Didn't phase Krishna. So at the end of all of this, I won't go through the whole pastime, he surrenders. The most powerful god, small g, demigod, surrenders to this, you know, little child in Vrindavan, realizing, yes, he really is the all-powerful one. And in his prayers, which are very conclusive, he has these prayers in chapter 14, 10th canto. This is one of the most famous. So he says, Gyane Priyasam Udapasya Namantahiva. So give up your speculative efforts. Throw it far away. Gyane Priyasam Udapasya Namantahiva. And you have to bow down. You have to recognize your subordination. To whom? Jivanti sanmukaditam bhavadiya vartam. And live in such a way that you hear the descriptions of the Supreme emanating from the mouth of the realized souls. It's a hearing process. Gyanapi asmanapasyanamandeva jivanti sanmukaditam bhavadiya vartam. Bhavadiya vartam means your activities, you know, news about you, gospel about Krishna. Vartam means news. Stani sitak, stay in your own position. Don't do any radical change, but add this hearing process. But then there's a key phrase here. Tonovan manobir. You can't just be hearing superficially. You have to be hearing with rapt attention and serving those vibrations with your body, mind, and words. Tonovan manobir. So it's more than just hearing. There's a caveat. So serving with your body means that you're taking the instructions in and you're acting on them with your senses. With your mind, you're contemplating them. You're putting your intelligence on them. And with your words, you're repeating them. So in this way, by doing that, then you can conquer the unconquerable Lord. In other words, because you develop love. You can develop love for Krishna by that process alone. Speculative knowledge is not going to help us. We have to be ready to hear with our rapt attention. So that's the. Therefore, you don't have to leave your occupation. You can stay in your occupation, worship the Lord with the fruits of the labor, and as much time as possible dedicate to what we're doing here. You know, pure hearing, chanting. We're just hearing the words of the pure devotee and Krishna himself, and in this way, developing our faith and gradually. Becoming to the platform of perfection, as said in this verse. Any comments on this one? Yes, Maharaji.
It talks about external energy and internal energy. What is that?
Okay, good question. I didn't deal with that. I kind of got far afield. So, in the seventh chapter, we learn about the energies of Krishna. You know, he's explaining there how one can begin to place his mind on him, become absorbed. And he begins with a little Sankhya. He analyzes where we're at. Bhumar apo anarovayu kangmano buddhrevacha ahankar iti ami binna prakritir ashtada. So these are like separated energies. They're a little separated from him, and they're separated from each other. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. We know what those are. Earth, you know, liquids, gases, radiant energy, like the electricity. Not a mystery. Yeah. Ether, space, mind, we all have a mind, no one can deny it, intelligence, discriminating capacity, and ego, sense of self. We live with these every day. So Krishna said, those are my energies. They're my, and then the next phrase is, these are apara prakriti. This is the lower external energy, inferior energy. But there is a para prakriti, which is spirit, which consists of the living entities who are sustaining this world, daryate. Probably uses the word exploiting, but it's the same idea. You know, I mentioned about this word for a conditioned soul called the tanubrita, one who's bearing a body. We're all carrying these bodies. We do not need these bodies. These bodies are external to us. They're weighing us down. We're pure spirit. But now we're identifying with the body. Therefore we think, oh, I'm tired, I'm hungry, I'm sick, I'm going to die. But I'm not. You're not any of those things. That's just your body telling you that. So that's all the external energy. The internal energy is the spirit itself. Now, that's one of the higher energies. We belong by nature to the spiritual energy. But there is also Krishna's Ladini Shakti. There's the internal energy divided into three. It gets a little bit technical. But in the spiritual kingdom, everything that they see, you know, here we have this thing manifested through this external energy. But there it's manifested through the internal energy in the variety called the Sandini Shakti. The things of the spiritual world, the land, the trees, the bodies of everybody, is maintained by the Sandini Shakti, which is overseen by Balaram. Baladev, Krishna's immediate expansion. Then there's the Samvit Shakti, which is the knowledge potency, how you know everything that's going on. That's another potency. And the Ladini Shakti, that's the pleasure potency, which is personified as Srimati Radharani. So that he has these two energies, external and internal. Now the external is simply an expansion of the internal. You know, it's one energy in two aspects. The Yoga Maya, which is also part of his internal energy, Yoga Maya brings us closer to Krishna, increases our love and intensity of our love for Krishna. But Yogamaya expanded as Mahamaya makes us forget Krishna. Because Mahamaya is what we're living in. You know. But really, Mahamaya is in here. Mahamaya is our reaction to our... We want to forget Krishna. And therefore, Mahamaya makes that possible. But if we want to remember Krishna, then she will act as Yogamaya and bring us toward Krishna. So this is what is meant by internal and external. External means all of this stuff, this external thing. Internal begins with ourselves as spirit, and in a deeper understanding, the whole spiritual world is the internal energy. So we have a choice as human beings, as living entities, which energy will influence us. We are not independent. We ourselves are our energy, but we're very infinitesimal. So we will be influenced by either the external energy or the internal energy. Those are the two choices. But when we surrender to the external energy, when we are absorbed in the external energy, we forget all about God. We forget all about ourselves as spirit. We're only absorbed in the sensations, you know. And that causes suffering, life after life. So the teachings of the sages, these ancient Vedic teachings that we're reading here in the Bhagavad Gita, are meant to bring us into the internal energy, which is auspicious, which is our real home. And that's the whole purpose of bhakti yoga, to turn ourselves away. That's why we chant. That's why we practice yoga, because the mind is so habituated to the external. By force, bring it onto the internal, bring it onto Krishna and his activities. Until one day, there's no more force needed. It's spontaneous. That's the idea. Okay, I want to stop now. Thank you for your attention. We're going to read from the Krishna book, or the 10th canon. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.